Welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Colin Urquhart.
Praise God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all that you're doing amongst us. And Lord, we want to move further ahead in your plans and purposes. So we open our hearts to hear what is on your heart this morning, so that we may respond from our hearts and see you working in greater measure in our lives personally, amongst us corporately in the church, and out into the community around us. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's good to be with you here again. We had a good day yesterday at Lamplugh. And it's great to hear of what God has been doing in KF Yorkshire during these last months. We keep track of your progress. It's not that Big Brother is watching you, but we're watching you. Hallelujah. And we rejoice at what God is doing. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 4. Now here we have some well-known ascriptions of worship that is going on in heaven. Amen. It's great to know what's going on in heaven. Amen. Amen. That one's going to be a praiser. Hallelujah. Verse 11 of chapter 4. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Then if you look at chapter 5, in verse 13, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. Now, we all know what it is to praise the Lord. We've been doing that in this last half an hour or so. And we know what it is to see how God will be glorified, because Jesus said that he is glorified when we bear much fruit in our lives. And he is worthy of all praise. He's worthy of all the glory we can give him by the fruit we produce, by the Holy Spirit's activity in us. We can understand that because God is almighty, all power belongs to him. Mind you, this scripture says he's worthy to receive all power. I wonder what that means. How can he receive power through our worship? But another word that is in both these scriptures is the word honor. To God and to the Lamb who sits on the throne, he is worthy of all honor. Now, this raises the question, how do we honor the Lord? And what is the difference between praising him, giving him glory, and honoring him? If he is worthy of all honor, then he's worthy of all the honor we can give him. So we need to understand what that means, or we can't give it to him. If we don't understand how to honor the Lord, we can't honor him. And obviously, we have to approach this at two levels. How we honor the Lord personally, how he is honored in your personal life, and how he is honored in the church, corporately, so that he can then be honored in the world around us. So we're going to do a little Bible study this morning to understand how God is honored. And we might be in for one or two surprises. We're going to start in the Old Testament, in the first book of Samuel, chapter 24. After Saul returned from pursuing the Philistines, he was told David is in the desert of En-Gedi. That's alongside the Dead Sea. So Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and set out to look for David and his men near the crags of the wild goats. Now, I've actually, and Pastor Jonathan also, we've climbed up to the cave where David and Saul were. It's quite inaccessible. It is a real climb. The importance is this, that the cave is in two distinct parts. There is a sort of a forward cave, and then there is a narrowing down, and then there is another cave beyond that. So you can actually be in the front part of the cave without realizing there's another part of the cave. And if you understand that, then you'll be able to understand the scripture a little more clearly. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself. David and his men were far back in the cave. They were in the rear part of the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now, you've got to imagine the scene. There's Saul doing his business. And David crawls very quietly from the back part of the cave through the narrow part, and unknown to Saul, just cuts off the corner of his robe. Now, Saul, as we've heard, is out to kill David. And so Saul is really at David's mercy. He could have killed him. He could have done whatever he liked. And of course, David had already been anointed to become the king, the next king. So if he had killed Saul, all David's problems would be over. He would no longer have all these thousands of men pursuing him, trying to kill him. And what is more, he would have inherited the throne and become the king. So what a temptation to do away with Saul there and then. But David had such respect for the fact that God had anointed Saul that he would not kill him. But he just cut off the edge of his robe instead. Now you would think, David, that's great. You're doing well, man. You've resisted the temptation to do away with your enemy. And yet you're demonstrating to Saul what you could have done to him. But just look at what the next verse says. Verse 5. Afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. David was conscience stricken. He'd spared Saul's life, but he was conscience stricken. Try saying that three times quickly. Conscience stricken for just cutting off his robe. He said to his men, "The Lord forbid that I should do such a thing to my master." Now, Saul had been treating David abominably. Quite apart from pursuing him, he'd tried to kill him already and would try to kill him again. So why is David so conscience-stricken? Because God had anointed Saul. If God had chosen and anointed Saul, David had such honor for God that he honored the one he had anointed. He knew that if he moved against Saul, God's anointed, chosen one, he would be moving against God himself, because God had chosen and anointed him. But David was also a man of wisdom. How could he expect people to acknowledge, to recognize, and to submit to the anointing on his life when he became king, if he had not recognized and submitted himself to the anointing of Saul while he was king? David understood something, that you reap what you sow. And this was to have a great significance later on in David's life, because you remember his son Absalom rebelled against him. But Absalom could not prevail over David because David had been merciful to Saul. So David was under the Lord's protection because he would not move against the Lord's anointed one. Now, what has this got to do with honoring God? Well, if you don't honor those whom God has anointed, you don't honor God. It's very easy, isn't it, for us to be critical of people, especially critical of leaders, because there isn't a perfect leader under the sun. And so leaders are always open to scrutiny for whatever they say and whatever they do. But you see, to David, it was a grievous sin to even have a critical attitude in his heart towards Saul. This is why he was so conscience-stricken just for cutting off the corner of his robe. And there's no time for us to go into it now, but later on, Saul was again at David's mercy, when he was asleep in the camp, and his soldiers, guard who were supposed to be guarding him, they were all asleep. And David and his right-hand man, they crept up to him in the night, and again, David could have killed Saul. But now, you see, they understood. At least David's men understood that David would not move against Saul. So his right-hand man, Abishai, says, "Well, let me kill him, and then your hands will be clean." But David says, "No way. If you serve me and you move against Saul, that's the same as me moving against Saul. You can't treat God like that." Because God understands the motives and intentions and the desires of the heart. So what you see in David is a profound honoring of the anointing of God. Now, you are anointed. We read in the first letter of John that you have the anointing, and that anointing abides, that anointing remains. Now, David understood that in honoring the anointing on Saul, he was not only honoring the Lord, but he was honoring the anointing on his own life. So how do you honor God by honoring the anointing on your own life? And you are a part of a church, of a group of believers, all of whom, or certainly the vast majority of whom, are anointed by God's Holy Spirit. So how do you honor God? By honoring one another. How do you honor the anointing on your brother or your sister? You see, Paul says, honor one another out of reverence for Christ. If we don't honor one another, we don't have reverence for Christ. We might sing 427 choruses, but if we don't honor one another, the words mean nothing to him. He's not even listening. He said, what are you singing all these words to me about honoring me if you don't honor one another? And then you see the scripture says that you are to give double honor to those whom God has given the anointing to lead you. And the scripture says they are worthy of double honor because they have double accountability. When you're in leadership, you will have to account to the Lord on the day of judgment for your own personal walk with him. We're all going to have to do that. But when you're in leadership, you also have to give account to the Lord of the way in which you have led your people. Led his people. Led those that he's given you to lead. So you have a double accountability. You have a double responsibility. So the scripture says those leaders are to have double honor. You honor them because they are your brothers or your sisters in Christ, but you honor them also just like David honored Saul, because God has put them in that place of leadership. Now, we can see this is the principle, that if we honor the anointing, as David honored the anointing, we've somehow got to honor the anointing on our own lives, on one another's lives, and give double honor to those who are over us in the Lord. Right, so far that's pretty clear, isn't it? But what does it mean to honor the anointing? How do we do that in practice? Because we need some pretty clear, practical information here, don't we? So that we can just not know that this is what we ought to do, but we need to know how to do it. Well, first of all, what is the anointing? Because now we're in the New Testament, not the Old Testament. But of course, the principles are the same. But even more so in the New Testament, because the anointing is the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is God. How do you honor the anointing on your own life? Well, it means you have to honor the anointing of the Holy Spirit on your life. So how do you honor the anointing of the Spirit? Do you want to know that? It's very simple. I can tell you in one phrase. You obey Him. You see, David was conscience-stricken because he felt he had disobeyed the Lord in just cutting off the robe, even though he'd been so merciful and could have killed Saul and didn't. Just cutting off his robe dishonored God, dishonored the anointing on Saul, threatened the anointing on his own life because he was being disobedient. So, in the New Testament, even more so, if God has come to live in you, because the Holy Spirit is God, if God has come to live in you, and you therefore honor the anointing that He has given you, then you will obey the Holy Spirit. That to disobey the Holy Spirit is to dishonor God. Because the Holy Spirit is God. So, it's very important, isn't it, for us to know the voice of the Spirit. But what does Jesus tell us about the Spirit? He is the Spirit of truth who guides us into all the truth. He takes the things of Jesus and declares them to us. He reminds us of everything Jesus has said. So the Holy Spirit's activity in our lives is first and foremost not to enable us to speak in tongues or to prophesy or to have gifts of the Spirit. First and foremost, the Spirit of God lives in you to guide you into the truth. So real prophecy is always focused on those Scriptures. The Holy Spirit will take the Scripture and declare it to you. He may give you other words which will help to explain the Scripture, to interpret the Scripture into your experience, but the way you test whether something is really of the Holy Spirit or not is against the Word of God. If it's the Word of God, then it's from God. Or, I mean, the devil can quote Scripture, but we won't go there this morning. He did to Jesus in the wilderness. But he quotes it in the wrong way, ripping it out of its context. But the Holy Spirit wants to guide us into all the truth. So the Holy Spirit lives in you to enable you, first of all, to tell you what to do, and then to enable you to do it. So if you value, see, why do some Christians say, I find it so difficult to hear the voice of God? Because they don't honor the voice of God. They don't honor the Spirit. If you honor the Spirit, you will hear the Spirit. You will hear God. You will know what it is that God is wanting you to do. When you pray, you will know the voice of God because you honor Him. And of course, if you don't pray, that shows you don't honor God. That struck something, didn't it? I mean, how can you say you honor the Lord, but you don't bother to pray? I mean, if you honor God, He has the first call upon your time. It's not that you don't have time to pray. If you honor God, you don't have time for other things because you're praying. Let's get things in the right order. If we're honoring God, the prayer comes before other things. It amazes me how many people say, I don't have time to pray, but they read the paper and they watch the television. And they go out and do this, that, and the other. And then they say they don't have time to pray. Well, they're deceiving themselves, aren't they? And sometimes people say, well, I'm not very good at prayer. Well, no wonder if you don't do it. I mean, how are you ever going to be good at anything unless you do it? The only way to learn to pray is by praying. But I can't give you a sermon on how to pray today. We've got to keep to the subject of honoring. But you see, if we don't pray, we don't honor the Lord. And actually, we don't honor the anointing on our own lives, because without prayer, you can't function in your anointing in the way that God intends. You see, it's one thing to say we have the Holy Spirit and therefore we have the voice of God within us, but what's the point of having the voice of God if you never listen to Him? Or if you don't cultivate listening to Him, learning to listen, because you do have to learn to do that. And that's why you have leaders and people that are more experienced than you are to help you to learn how to do that. Not just by telling you what to do, but praying with you and helping you to become sensitive to the voice of the Spirit. So if we're going to honor the anointing in our own lives, we're going to take the Holy Spirit seriously. And realize He's not there just for us to have a jamboree when we praise. And a little bit more freedom in our lives than we used to have before. But this is God in us, wanting to work out His purpose through us. So if I honor the Holy Spirit in my life, I'm going to consult Him every day. In fact, throughout the day. I mean, you know, you can say, Lord, I don't know what to do here. Just show me what to do. Or, I don't know that I can do this. Just enable me, Lord. And just prayers like that, from the heart, God answers. And you find that He releases His enabling power into your life. So if you don't honor the anointing on your own life, how do you think you're going to honor it on other people's lives? You see, one of the difficulties about being a member of the church or of any other Christian or any other organization which involves people is that it's very easy to see what's wrong with the other people. I mean, the closer that people are to one another, the more, on the one hand, they can value one another, but the more easily they can see the faults in others. But you see, one of the things that Jesus said is, do not judge. Because He died on the cross to deliver us from the judgment we deserve. And He warns us, if you judge others, then you place yourself back under judgment. And you will be judged in the same way that you judge others. So every time you judge someone else, you're actually judging yourself. Why? Because something is wrong with your heart. You've got a heart of judgment instead of a heart of love, a heart of mercy, a heart of grace. You see, David was in danger of judging Saul. And you'd say, well, Saul deserved to be judged. Look what he was doing to him. But no. If David wanted to live in the mercy of God, he had to be merciful towards Saul himself. Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. And he taught us, didn't he, if you want God to forgive your sins, you have to forgive the sins of others. Because if you don't forgive the sins of others, God won't forgive your sins. And if God doesn't forgive your sins, you are not in right relationship with God, no matter how many services you attend and how many songs you sing. The only way to stay in right relationship with God is to keep forgiving others. And who knows, you can't judge someone and forgive them at the same time. You see, it's an option. You either judge or you forgive. And if you withhold forgiveness, you have judged that person and placed yourself under judgment, in which case you don't honor the anointing on your own life because you've just disobeyed the Holy Spirit, and you don't honor the anointing on your brother or sister's life. You see, each one of us, the scripture is very clear, each one of us is chosen by God. Aren't you pleased that God chose you? See? Because out of all the multitudes of people in the world, or even in this part of the world, God chose you to know him and to have eternal life. And the scripture says he chose you before the creation of the world. So it wasn't because of the color of your eyes or because of how nice you looked or what clothes you wear or even of anything that you have done. He chose you even before you existed. Now, it's difficult for us to understand that. But then you see, God lives in eternity. He doesn't live within our time scale. So he can see the past and the present and the future all at the same time, except he's not in time, but all in the same eternity. You understand? That's why there's all these prophecies of the cross, for example. He can describe to Isaiah the meaning of the cross 700 years before it happened, because God the Father could already see it happening. At the time he could see that 700-year span, all at the same eternity. I won't say the same moment, or the same moment in eternity. But this is where our minds get boggled. But you see, this is what eternity is all about. And this is why, if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. You will not die. Your body will die, but you will not die. You will live eternally. Hallelujah. But, you see, what reward are you going to have in heaven? Because salvation is God's gift. But what Jesus says is each one on the day of judgment is going to be rewarded according to what he has done. So for all eternity, your reward is going to be determined by what you do in this life. Your entrance to heaven is God's gift to you. That's salvation. But your place in heaven, your reward in heaven, Jesus says, is the result of what you have done. So by what you do with your life, that will determine what heavenly reward you have. Now you see, the more you honor God in this life, the greater the reward. So, the more you obey the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, the greater the eternal reward. The more you are submitted to the will of God in your life, the greater the reward. You don't want to get to the day of judgment and think to yourself, if only I'd honored God more in my life. If only I'd honored the anointing of the Holy Spirit on my life. If only I had obeyed God better, I wouldn't be in the back row in heaven for all eternity. Because there's a lot of people there, aren't there? I want to be near the throne. Anybody else want to be near the throne? I want to be right in the midst of the heavenly action. I don't want to be one of those that gets in only as through fire. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound very good. And you know, Jesus taught many parables about reward, didn't he? The one who had five and made five more. One who had two made two more. But the one who didn't use his gift, didn't use his anointing, he got thrown into outer darkness, the place of wailing and grinding of teeth. I don't know what that means, but it doesn't sound healthy. And if it's a question of that or a great eternal reward, I know which one I'm going for, because I want God to say to me on the day of judgment, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. But why were they good and faithful? Because they had honored God by using the gifting, the anointing that was given them. Are we getting this? We don't talk about reward enough. People are afraid if you talk about reward, you're talking about a doctrine of works. But no. Salvation is a gift. But your reward is according to your works. Scripture is very clear. Jesus is very clear about that. So, God has saved you to work. But he saved you to do his works, not your works. And you see, the more you are submitted to him, the more you will do his works rather than your own works, and the greater the heavenly reward. So, God wants us to have a merciful, encouraging, loving, positive attitude towards others. In the body, in the church. Not to judge them, not to complain about them, not to grumble, not to criticize. Remember, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, do to others as you would have them do to you. I guarantee this, if you know that someone judges you, you avoid them. But we're not to be avoiding one another. We're to be loving one another as Jesus has loved us. Isn't that the new command? Isn't that what we're commanded to do as his church? And you see, the point is, if people love you, you want to be with them. If they judge you, you want to avoid them. So if you start judging people, they'll want to avoid you. And rightly so. Who wants to be with someone who's judging them? But then you are the one who's in danger because you're placing yourself back under judgment. Yes. Are we getting this? Yes. I'm here to encourage you, you yes. see. But to encourage you in the truth. Yes. Not just to speak nice things of your life, but to encourage you in the truth. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He encourages us in the truth. He guides us into all the truth. So you see, the more we honor one another, the more we will want to be with one another. And the more we will focus on Christ in one another instead of on one another's faults and failings. It's strange, isn't it? If you do something wrong, you want everybody else to understand you and to forgive you and you know, to let the thing be in the past. But if somebody does something wrong to you, then you want to see they don't deserve. And, you know, when it's other people, it seems, well, it's too easy just to say I forgive them. I mean, they really deserve to be taught a lesson. But when it's you, you just want people to forgive you without you being taught a lesson. This is a strange thing, isn't it, about human nature. We want everybody to deal very nice and kind and gently and lovingly with us. But when it's others, well, they need to be taught a lesson. They don't understand what they've done to me, how they've hurt me. And so you actually have people leaving churches in offense, which is the most grievous sin you could imagine, because they're leaving with unforgiveness. Yeah, that's And therefore, they're leaving out of relationship with God. They move out of the church and they move out of relationship with God at the same time. And then they go and plant their offense somewhere else. It's okay to leave a church if the leadership knows God is calling you elsewhere, but he won't be calling you down the road to another fellowship. Hello? So we're going to honor one another. Now, this is the one that really hurts. Because, I mean, to honor the anointing on your life, yeah, you can see how we ought to honor the Holy Spirit. We've got to learn how to do that. To honor one another, yeah. But what about this double honor to the leaders? After all, they're only men, they're only women, they're only people, they're all like us, we're all the same, aren't we? No. No, we are not all the same. That's the whole point, that God appoints us to different ministries, apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, helpers, administrators. We're not all the same. And God talks about the greatest and the least in the kingdom. And God chooses to put people in positions of leadership. He doesn't do that mindlessly, because people have to prove faithful in little things before they're put in charge of bigger things. You know, sometimes I have people come up to me and say, oh, I'd like to have an apostolic ministry like yours. And I say, well... if you knew what it involves, you probably wouldn't. But I tell them, well, you're going to have to prove faithful in little things before God will ever raise you up to be an apostle. And you see, he raises up the humble, not those who want to be raised up. He pulls down the proud, the scripture said, but he raises up the humble. So, leaders have to learn how to be in leadership. Let me just tell you something about submission at a level that you can understand readily. Take what the scripture says about marriage. Wives, you are to submit to your husbands. That is a command from God. It's a command in his word. You are to submit to your husband. But at the same time, husbands, you are to love your wife as Christ loves the church. Now you see, it's easy for a wife to submit to the husband if the husband loves her like that. What is difficult and actually goes outside, you see what God is saying in his word, is to expect the submission of the wife to the husband when the husband doesn't love the wife and doesn't deal with the wife in love. Now that's another matter altogether. Because it's not just the wife that is wrong, it's the husband that is wrong for not loving the wife so that she can be secure in submitting herself to him. Are you understanding this? Yes. Now, it's the same in the church. The leaders are to love the people. They're not there for themselves. They're not there for their own praise and glory and honor. They are there to serve God and to be faithful to God and to honor God by loving the people. Now, when you love people, it's like bringing kids up, you know. You don't spoil them. You don't give them everything they want. You give them what they need in order that they may grow and mature and develop into the people that will glorify God. So that's the job of leaders, not to please the people. Paul said, if I was still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. Any leader that is trying to please the people is not a good leader. But the job of the leader is to please the Lord, is to honor the Lord. He has to honor the Lord by being faithful and obedient in leading the people in the way that the Holy Spirit is leading him. But you see, he is going to do that in love so that he is worthy of this double honor. Because the double honor, the scripture says, is to be given to those leaders, to those elders that are governing well. So, in God's purposes, the leader is learning how to lead. Now, he's going to make mistakes. But, who knows that God died on the cross in his beloved Son in order to save us from the punishment we deserve for our mistakes? You can expect a perfect leader if you're perfect yourself. But you've got no right to judge the imperfections of your leader if you're imperfect yourself. So a leader is going to make mistakes. And when a leader makes mistakes, everybody is conscious of it. Or a lot of people are, because you have that profile as a leader. Anybody know what I'm talking about here? Okay. So, what is the right attitude towards a leader? Well, if you turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. Right, now, how do we obey the anointing on our own life? We obey the Holy Spirit. How do you obey the anointing that God has given? The anointing of leadership, not just the anointing of a believer, but the anointing of leadership on your leader. How do you honor that? By obeying your leader. Now, are you ready? Are you all sitting up and taking notice? Because I'm about to say something you might not like. But it's true. If you sit there, when your leader is bringing revelation from God, he's speaking the word, he's speaking the Spirit, and what the Spirit of God is saying, if you sit there and even think, I don't agree with that, you are in rebellion against God. You've only just got to think it, I don't agree with that. And what have you done? You have placed yourself above the leader, and you've placed yourself above God because he's the one who put the leader there. You're saying, I know better than the leader, I know better than God. You're actually saying, I'm only going to listen to the leader when he agrees with me. Now that in Scripture is rebellion. It is the very opposite of honoring the anointing. It is dishonoring the anointing. And you see, that's exactly what the devil wants. The devil wants you to disagree because disagreement brings division. And what did Jesus pray? Father, may they be one. So what does the devil want to do? He wants to divide. And how does he begin that division? Just by planting that seed, I don't agree with that. Or I'm not going to do that. Supposing your leader says to you, look, there's something very important, we all need to be involved in this, and you decide to do something else instead. Are you honoring the Lord? Are you honoring the anointing? Are you honoring your leader? Are you obeying him? If you choose to do something else other than what the Lord is saying you as a body need to be doing together, is that honoring God? You see, I don't have to answer the question because you know yourself what the answer to the question is. Now, if for some reason we are unable to do something that the leader is telling us to do, then what do? We go to the leader and we say, look, I've got this, 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 and this that I must do. Please, can you excuse me from doing this? You don't just not turn up, because that's dishonoring. It's dishonoring to the leader, it's dishonoring to God. It's independence, and independence is the worst sin in the Bible. Adam and Eve acted independently, and you have been fighting sin ever since because of their independence. You see, what we have to understand is that when we're born again, God makes us members of the body, and he actually puts us into unity. Unity is something that is God's gift to the church. But this is why the enemy is doing everything he can to disrupt that unity. When Jesus prayed, Father, may they be one, God answered that prayer. It's not a prayer to be answered in the future. Jesus did not pray prayers that he'd have to wait thousands of years to see answered. What happened is every time the Holy Spirit comes to live in people, God the Father makes them one with the other believers. So along comes the devil and does everything he can to try to separate them and divide them, make them jealous of one another, and independent and disobedient. He wants to try to disrupt and divide. But we don't let him into the church. I said we don't let him into the church. He is not a member of Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. He has no right in the meetings, and he has no right in the lives of any members of this church. But you see, just to be independent is to be divisive. Now you might think, well, wait a minute. This is going to ask a lot of me. No. It's going to ask everything of you. Because when you gave your life to Jesus, you gave everything to him. You said, Lord, you are Lord of my life. You're Lord of every part of my life. You're Lord of everything. All that I am, all that I have is yours. Apart from you, I have nothing. I can do nothing. He paid the price for every part of you on the cross. He didn't pay the price for the little piece of your life that is convenient to give to him. This is why Paul says you are not your own. You were bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. Right now, God has a plan.
Amen.
For Scarborough.
Amen.
And for Yorkshire. His plan is to be glorified. And how is he going to be glorified? Well, he's only going to be glorified in Scarborough if he's glorified in his church in Scarborough. Because the church is his chosen instrument of working in the world. Now, you might say, well, we're only one part of the church. Yes, but you are the part, you are responsible for this part. You're not responsible for the rest.
That's right. Yeah.
Each congregation is responsible to be doing the will of God.
Yes.
As part of his overall yes. plan for Scarborough and for Yorkshire and so on. But you are responsible for what you're doing. So God is not going to hold you responsible for what others are doing, but he's going to hold you responsible for what you're doing.
Yes.
And on the day of judgment, you are going to have to give account for how you serve God as Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. In other words, you will be judged according to what you have done. So there isn't going to be any offense in the church. I mean, well, what do you do if the leader offends you? Oh, he offended me. He really hurt me. You say, God, why did you allow that to happen? What are you showing me about my heart that I should react like that? Why do I say that? Because Jesus said, nothing outside a man defiles a man, but only that which is within, which comes from his own heart. Sometimes God allows you to be hurt. He allows all kinds of things to happen in your life just to show you what is still in your heart. The anger, the self-righteousness, the unforgiveness. It all erupts and God says, see? But Lord, I wouldn't have reacted like that if it hadn't been. No, because you can't see your heart like I see it, the Lord says. I know what is in the heart, and I want to purify your heart. I want to get all that negativity out. So I allow certain things to happen to you just to show you what is still there.
Yes.
Now get rid of it. It's not being critical of your leader that you need. It's repentance for what's going on in your own heart. But Lord, he really hurt me. Well, forgive him. And then the hurt will be healed. But Lord, he offended me. Oh, so you still think you care so much about yourself that you should never be offended? Listen, I was offended every time I went to Jerusalem. I was offended when they beat me and I bore the stripes for your healing. They offended me when they nailed me to a cross. And you think you are never going to get offended? Didn't I say, if you're a follower of mine, they'll persecute you, they'll revile you, they'll speak all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. You're supposed to get offended.
Yes.
In fact, if you don't get offended, you're not being obedient to me. If nobody's offending you, you're not doing anything for the gospel. And then people go, oh, he's hurt me, he's offended, I'm going off to another church. And they think they're honoring the Lord. Oh, the Lord led me. No, he didn't. That was never the Lord. That was a spirit of deception leading you. Why? Because the scripture says, if you hear the word and you do not put it into practice, you deceive yourself. So if you judge, you have just opened yourself to a spirit of deception. And that spirit of deception will lead you out. He will cause you to be offended. He will do all kinds of things. But it's not the Holy Spirit. It's a spirit of deception. Oh, but I prayed. Well, the devil can talk when you pray. Because, you see, if you haven't forgiven, then God hasn't forgiven you, you're out of relationship with you. So when you pray, the devil says, I'll answer you. I've got a spirit of deception. The Holy Spirit, you can't hear the Holy Spirit because you're out of sync with God. So I've got a spirit who will lead you. He's a spirit of deception. Leave. This. When you're wise to the devil's tactics, you're one step ahead of him.
Yes.
And when he tries these things on, you say, no way. I'm going to keep merciful. I'm going to keep forgiving. I'm not going to judge. I'm going to honor the anointing on my life. I'm going to honor everybody else. I'm not going to judge them. I'm not going to be critical of them. I'm not going to go and gossip about them. And I'm going to give double honor to those over me in the Lord. I'm going to respect them for who they are and the anointing on their life to lead me. I'm going to obey whatever the Holy Spirit is saying to us as a body, because the devil is not going to get a foothold in my life. He's not going to divide me and separate me and take away my peace and my unity with others. Hallelujah. We're on the winning side. But, last of all, I say that just to give you hope that I'm going to finish at some time in the future. That's dealing with the negative. But God wants us to be full of the positive. Because the more we are doing the will of God in a positive way, the less room there will be for the negative. So, we are committed to God. We're committed to his purposes. In the body. You see, another way of Christians being deceived, and actually this is also rebellion, is to say, well, we all have the Spirit, the Holy Spirit leads all of us, so I'm going to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, irrespective of what he's saying to anybody else in the church. That is rebellion. In Scripture, that is rebellion. Because you see, we're not all the same. And yes, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit, but we have to listen to him within the context of the body of Christ, of which he has made us a part. God is not going to lead you in a different direction from everybody else in the church. Why? Because he wants to lead his people forward in unity. So you see, if you have an important decision to make, you will always submit that to someone in authority over you. Say, well, I've got this important decision. I believe that this is what the Holy Spirit is saying. Can you check it out for me? Because the Holy Spirit will give them the right witness as to whether you're making the right decision or not. And if they say, well, no, I don't believe that is the right decision, then you need to listen. You need to listen good. Because if it's the Holy Spirit, he's going to give the right witness to everybody who's concerned in the making of that decision. It's not taking responsibility away from the believer. It's, you see, what this scripture says here, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so that their work will be a joy and not a burden, for that would be no advantage to you. You see, they keep watch over you. God has given you people of greater anointing, greater experience, greater responsibility than you have spiritually, so that they can watch over you and help you and guide you and move you forward in the purposes of God. And so you can expect that this church is going to grow and expand, not just numerically, but grow and expand in the purposes of God. And your leaders, they know their responsibility in that. But you see, the scripture says you're to obey them and make their life easy. Let me tell you, I've been in church leadership, 45 years. Nothing is more difficult than trying to lead a people that don't want to be led. Or to lead a people in the way of God when people want to go in other ways of their own. Now, come on, that's just not going to make any sense. But God knows that he brings people together into the unity of the body so that they can move forward together. Amen. In unity, in love, in the Holy Spirit. So, I'll finish with this.
God's purpose for your life. Would you like to know that? Shall I tell you what God really wants for you? What is in His heart? What He really, really wants for you? Would you like to know that? Because if you don't want to know, I won't tell you. But right. Well, God's desire for you, His purpose for you, is that you should have a great reward.
Amen.
He's given you salvation. Now, His purpose is that you should have a great reward. He wants you on the day of judgment to stand before Him and to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You prove faithful in little. I'm now going to put you in charge of much. You prove faithful in what I gave you to do. Now you're going to be in charge of 5 cities, of 10 cities. Because this is what Jesus said is going to happen. In the new heaven and the new earth, the faithful ones will be in charge of cities. You could be in charge of cities. In God's new heaven and new earth, God wants you to have a great reward. But He knows that the only way to that great reward is to honor Him. Honor the anointing. You see, if David wouldn't dare to cut, or was conscience stricken for cutting off the corner of Saul's robe, you wouldn't dare stand in judgment and criticism of your leaders. If they're wrong, you pray for them. That's the next thing it says in that scripture. Pray for them. Don't judge them. Pray for them. But why has God, you know, I say to people, Horsham, listen, I'm not always right, but I'm more right than you are, which is why I'm here and you're there. Because, you see, we only learn by experience, don't we? And God raises people up. And, you know, I was asked a question at the Leaders' Day yesterday about mistakes, you know. Do we learn from our mistakes? And my answer was, is there any other way of learning? Because we all learn by our mistakes, don't we? Oh, we're foolish if we don't, because we're just going to make the same mistakes again and again and again. But if we learn from our mistakes. But you see, God has put people over you whom He has anointed to lead. If you had the anointing to lead, you would be up here, and I'd be down there if I didn't have it. But God puts you in your appointed place, but not just to leave you there. He wants to raise you up. He wants more and more. Prove faithful in little things, or put you in charge of bigger things. Then you prove faithful, put you in charge of more. And on the day of judgment, well, cities. Why not? Why not? He doesn't say to be in charge of cities, you have to be a leader. No, you have to be faithful in using what God has given you to use, using the anointing. But you see, you use that anointing in unity with everybody else in the body. You don't do your own thing. Hallelujah. And one last thing. This is it. This is the third last point. And I'm not allowed to have 4, so you're all right. If any of you listening to this say, "Oh, God, if I'd realized all this years ago, I'd have done more with my life than I have done." Well, all you have to say to the Lord, "Lord, forgive me if I've missed opportunities, if I've had a wrong idea, wrong understanding. Forgive me for all the ways in which I've failed to honor the anointing on my life, the anointing on others, the anointing on leaders. Forgive me for all the ways that I've dishonored you, but Lord, I thank you that you redeem the time. And I thank you that the years ahead of me are going to be far more fruitful than the years behind me. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Praise your wonderful name. Now, let's just be still. And you talk to the Lord now from your heart. He's here. He'll hear you. He's been listening to your heart. He's been listening to your thoughts while you've been listening to me. And if you feel there's somewhere in which you need to get right with him now, well, you can do that. Doesn't take long to get right with God. All you have to do is say, Lord, I've been wrong. Now please forgive me. If you realize you've had wrong attitudes, selfish attitudes, dishonoring attitudes, it doesn't mean that you deliberately wanted to dishonor the Lord, but you realize that some of your attitudes, some of your thought forms, some of the things you've said, some of the attitudes you've had towards others, perhaps sometimes your attitude towards leadership. If you're one of those people that say, well, I have a problem with authority, what you're actually saying is I have a problem with the Lord, because he is the authority. So it's time not to have a problem with authority, but to submit yourself to the Lord's authority, and therefore to the authority wherever he places it. Because the scripture says all authority is given by God. So just put right with him now whatever needs to be put right. Just say, Lord, please forgive me. If there's any judgment or unforgiveness towards anyone, well, this would be a very, very good time to ask God to forgive you and for you to forgive the person. If you've been carrying any offense against anyone, it's time to forgive them now. Not to think about it, but to do it now. And that's not a feeling, it's not waiting until you feel right. It's a decision you make. You choose to forgive the offense. You choose to forgive the hurt, no matter who perpetrated it. And just thank God that none of us have any righteousness of our own. But the scripture says Jesus is our righteousness. He is our holiness. He is our redemption. Hallelujah. So just thank the Lord now for his forgiveness. Some of you may feel, well, I just need a fresh start on this one. This is sort of taken me by storm this morning. Lord, I just yield myself afresh to you today. I want to honor you in every part of my life. So why don't you submit yourself afresh to the Holy Spirit? And say, Holy Spirit, I thank you that you live within me. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you want to guide me into all truth.
Holy Spirit, I thank you that you want to remind me of everything that Jesus said. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that you will enable me to do the Word of God, and therefore to do the will of God. So I submit myself afresh to you. I want to learn to hear your voice more clearly, so I know when you're speaking and what you're saying. I want to be sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I want to be obedient to every prompting of the Spirit. And Lord, I don't want to just put up with the others in the church and avoid the ones I don't like. I want to really learn to honor every other person whom you have honored by coming to live in them. And Lord, I pray that there will be a greater sense of honoring one another in the body here than there has ever been in the past. Then thank the Lord for those whom He has given to be your leaders, to pastor you, to watch over you, to develop you. And let the Lord know that you submit yourself to His authority in them, to the authority that He has given them, and that therefore you will do what that word commanded. You will obey your leaders. Why don't you say to the Lord, Lord, I want to make their life easy. I don't want to make it difficult. I want to make their life easy. I don't want to fight against what you're saying to us as a church. I want to flow obediently with everything that you're saying as your body in this place. Now, I haven't had time to explain all this in the message this morning. But if we were to have the next part of the message, it's that the more we honor God, the more the power of God is released. And in those scriptures that we read, you know, all honor and all power is given to the Lord. When you honor the Lord, the power of God is released. Now, the power of God is being released to a certain extent in the church here, but God in the coming months wants to release the power more. Not just that you see more happening in the church, but as you go out, as the angels, as you go out in the various ministries to which God is calling you, what you see happening is the power of God touching people's lives. Now, the more you honor Him, the more power there will be. And the more you honor God in your personal life, the more of His power will be evidenced in your personal life. I believe God is talking to some of you who've got various sicknesses, ailments, and you've been praying for a time for these to be healed. And as far as you know, you've been standing in faith, and you wonder why the condition still hasn't been fully healed. And what God is saying to you is, well, two things are required. One is the honoring, and the other is the faith. You have the faith, now do the honoring. Now honor me in the ways that you've heard this morning, and you will see the power of God released in your body. and the faith will be honored. You see, when we honor God, He honors us. He's already honored us by coming to live in us. He's already honored us by saving us. But can you see that every work of healing is a work in which He honors you? Amen? And so He wants to honor you, but you know the measure you give is the measure you receive. So you reap what you sow. So as you sow honor, you will reap honor. You will receive honor. You will receive from God, not just healing, but whatever it is you need. So I want you to make a step of faith now and thank God for all that you're going to receive in these coming weeks and months. As you honor Him, He's going to honor you again and again and again. He's going to honor you by the way He gives to you, by the way He blesses you, by the way He provides for you, by the way He heals you, by the way He uses you, by the way you see His power released through your life to touch the lives of other people. Come on, give Him glory, give Him honor, give Him praise. Hallelujah. We thank You, Jesus. We bless You, mighty Lord. Come on, just lift your hands and praise the Lord. Brastakaria zituri sarato bakara zituba. Brastakaria zituri zanduba. Now God is speaking to somebody here. He's speaking to you very personally, and you're going to know, you're just going to have the sense within you that this word is for you. He said, "You have been with the rebels. But today your life is going to change and you're going to join the submitted. Those that are submitted to Me, says the Lord. You're leaving the band of rebels and you're joining the good guys. You're joining those that are submitted to My will. And your life will be transformed as a result. You will enter into a kind of fulfillment and happiness and peace and freedom that you never thought possible. Something that you would like, but really you've had this sense you've been in such rebellion against authority and against God, that you could never really know those things. But you see, God has chosen you. And let me tell you, when God chooses you, you can't run from Him. You can't escape. But it's a great privilege, it's a great honor to be chosen by the One who created the universe. There is no greater honor on earth than to be chosen by the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let us all just thank the Lord that we have been called, we have been chosen, we have been set apart to be His people, that He has His plan and purpose for us, that He's prepared good things for us to walk in. Hallelujah. We give You glory, we give You honor, we give You praise. We bless Your wonderful name, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, and Father, we just pray now for this city. We pray for the whole area. We thank You, Lord, that we are going to see Your holy name honored in Scarborough, that the more we honor You, the more we will see You honored in the whole of Yorkshire. And we bless You, we praise You that You have put us here to be leaven in the lump, to be light for the world, to be salt for the earth. Thank You that You've put us here to make a difference, to be the difference that makes the difference. And we just give You all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Come on, let's thank the Lord.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.